What's up? We're back with the podcast. And we have the, you know what, dude? I think I might alternate in between Tracy's theme song. I'm going to try to mix the two somehow. So I still like Tracy's. I like the effort that was put into it. But Joe DeRosa seemed to win with the fans. But we're back. I'm here with somebody who's been on the podcast before. Actually, my next door neighbor, thespian, MMA fucking aficionado.
Nice.
Pussy hound.
Here we go.
One of the only good-looking redheads I know.
I'm not a redhead. I'm a blonde, goddamn.
You're a fucking ginger, and you know it. Damn Bill it. Dawes, everybody. Like, people are going to applaud. In case you applaud in your car driving in traffic or at your house at 3 in the morning while you're listening, in case you applaud when I announce the guest, there might be those people who actually, Bill Dawes. And, you know, you've also banged chicks in my apartment before I bought it, so, which is
my claim to fame.
Very uncomfortable. He's on Broadway in Lombardi, if you want to go check him out. He does 15 shows a week.
Not like you, man.
How many shows you got?
I probably do about 4 or 5 a week.
4 or 5
shows. Oh, you mean Lombardi?
Yeah, Lombardi.
Yeah. Eight
shows a week. That's anybody who wants a fucking theater gig. It's a comic's worst dream. Actually booking a play on Broadway. It's so fucking prestigious. And oh my God, you're on Broadway. Yeah, that lasts for around a week and a half. And you realize that the next fucking 6 months,
yeah,
you have to do the same shit.
Yeah,
8 times a week.
Tell me about it. Chris Rock was talking about it on Letterman. He was talking about, like, oh my God, I can't believe I have to do this show 8 shows a week. Ugh. I saw him Monday, as a matter of fact.
Name dropper. Listen, name dropper alert.
Yes.
I have no sound effects.
Just that.
So anyway, we've got a couple of things to talk about. You know, I did a podcast with DeRosa, but, you know, I brought up MMA or any sports in general, and this fucking Fruit Loop doesn't know anything. He really doesn't. And he knows everything about film, any movie or TV show. Yeah. That's how he gives you advice as a friend.
It's based on a movie he saw.
Yeah. Dude, that's like when Quentin Tarantino, that's like in Pulp Fiction, in terms of endearment, shut the fuck up, you non-human. He's like experienced nothing in life. It's all through fucking television. Oh, he's such a hunk of garbage. But I had him on, and he couldn't talk MMA whatsoever.
Yep.
So we're gonna brush up on some MMA fucking thoughts. And then, you know, another thing we're going to actually talk about is something we couldn't talk about last time you were on.
Yes, that's right. I've been given permission.
You've been given permission from your...
From my girlfriend.
From ex-girlfriend.
Now we're working our way back into the GFBF situation.
Now, for some of you know, we talked about cheating, me and DeRosa, cheating stories and stuff like that. We're writing a book on cheating, which is coming out next year. It's you know, how to cheat and get away with it, basically. And
yeah,
you're one of the stories. You know,
how not to get away with it.
Yeah, right. Well, you have a cheat story that's pretty fucking amazing where you just fucking failed. And it comes into the... if it was 10 years ago, you would have got away with it.
Yeah.
10 years ago, before Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and all these social fucking networkings, you would get the fuck away with it. You would have been scot-free. You did everything right. But because you're a fucking ham bone like the rest of us, and you got to be out there on Twitter. And
I need validation.
You got fucking bagged.
Yeah.
And you got to set this up a little bit. Right. I went over to his house a few months ago. I think it was the Anderson Silva fight when he did that front kick.
Yeah.
Not to segue back, and what a beautiful segue, by the way, into MMA. I'm mixing the two because that's what I do on my podcast. I'm fucking great like that. We're at your house, and you were like, you know, oh, my girl's here, and It was like really late at night, and you're like, oh, don't worry, she's really cool. And I was like, am I being too loud? And I'm like, no, she's great. And, you know, she comes out. Oh, my God, what a stunning woman. Beautiful woman.
Yeah.
But you always get scared when a friend of yours, especially, I know a lot of, you're a good-looking stud. You know, guys like you have these hot chicks that are just cunts. Just fucking cunts. They shake your hand and look away. Like, oh, you're not worthy, you know. But, you know, when your girl came out, stunning, beautiful, and I'm like, oh, boy. You know, and everybody always says, my girl's really cool. Really? She's cool to you.
Yeah, yeah.
She's, you know, they're usually not cool to fucking, you know, random fucking people, especially me, because I'm such a fucking alpha douchebag comic that I always, you know, I come up, you know, those type of women hate me. She came out fucking sweet as pie. So nice, really cool. Just one of the guys. Didn't mind that we were fucking watching UFC and being loud and actually hung out and... You're absolutely right. She was a really cool, beautiful girl, and you actually couldn't stop praising her and how great it was. And
yeah,
I was actually like, wow, man, that's cool. I mean, you know, Bill is, you know, he's on Broadway in New York City, you know, lives in Hell's Kitchen. I mean, this is a pretty hard place. I mean, I'm married, I'm finished, I'm bald, I'm fat, you know, I have fucking long toenails, and nobody's fucking me. But you're a good-looking guy. You got all the shit going. It'd be hard for me if I was in your position with abs. To be able to fucking stay steady. I was actually, wow, it's pretty cool of you that you found a girl and you're, you know, I'm always happy for somebody when they, a scumbag yeah. like you,
yeah,
like me, when we find that happiness and we settle down a little bit. Cut to?
A week later.
Fucking Christ, yeah.
A week later.
Yeah.
So we have to go back in time.
We have to go back in time.
Okay, so I met this girl. When I met her, she was married.
Yep.
And, she was in an unhappy marriage, and she was. And we talk about. We were in acting class, which is if you are a scumbag and you're looking to get laid, an acting class is the shoe in.
Yeah, that or an open mic, or an AA meeting.
Oh yeah, that's true.
And they're on the same level. You fucking creep.
So anyway, I was doing promotion for. Anyway, we decided to start dating, and then I moved to New York from LA when we started dating.
Right.
We're like, well, let's try to make it work. So meanwhile, she's going through a divorce. She's moving. She's getting all of her shit out of her apartment to move into her own place. She hasn't quite filed yet. So when I got to New York...
Hang on one second. FYI, for you who are listening, this is the justification
set. Yeah, exactly. Let me defend myself for 20 minutes.
This is the foundation of justification he's laying down before he tells you what he's about to tell you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So
married, work it out. Let's see if it works. Okay, go ahead. And, not where you were at the night I met her, though, by the way. But go ahead.
No. Well, when you met her, she'd already filed for divorce. So you
moved to New York.
Moved to New York. So when I started doing promotion for Lombardi, I did a TV show, which was a really crappy TV show. I'm not going to mention it. And one of the hostesses of the TV show is this woman. She's kind of like a New York sort of socialite, very wealthy woman. Yeah. Older woman. But, you know, I thought she was kind of attractive. And Wealthy, very like billionaire wealthy.
Right. And not a thousandaire.
Not a millionaire.
Not a millionaire.
Yeah.
Yeah, really. We're talking wealthy.
We're talking like Arthur.
Okay.
And so she contacted me on Facebook after the interview, just some sort of flirty little comment.
Right.
So we did the Facebook bullshit where you flirt like winky smiley face, dot dots, and all that fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
And then and then she gave me flowers opening night of my play. And I was like, oh, my God, maybe this girl actually likes me. And, of course, because I'm fucking white trash and need validation from rich people and attractive people, I was all my asshole puckered. And then...
But you were going out with your girl at this time.
Yes, I was going
out with her. She was in L.A.
She was in L.A.
Right.
So...
Filing for divorce.
To
be with you.
Filing for divorce, period.
Right, okay.
just filing for divorce.
Just checking.
Okay. So we'd flirted a little bit, and it was kind of like that. And then one time, I was home, and I got a text from said hostess, billionaire, saying, you want to fuck. It was like midnight or 1 o'clock.
You got a text
from
this person, you want to fuck.
Instantly.
Yeah.
Instantly, I was boner fied.
Right, of course.
Just like, chemically.
To any man, okay... There's certain, give it any, look, I don't, and this is to a woman too.
Yeah.
If my wife was in a room with Brad Pitt and he said, if he leaned into her ear and said, I'd love to fucking kiss you right now, I think that she would fucking have a hard time saying no.
Yeah.
I think she would have... And kissing to a woman is fucking to a man. So let's just get that out. I think it's actually more intimate, way worse. I'd rather catch my wife blowing Brad Pitt than kissing him.
Yeah,
that's some sensual shit. That's meaningful.
That's connection and eye contact.
Yeah. She could be... If I catch her blowing him, that could be just to get me a part in his next movie. You know what I mean? If she's kissing him, that's some... That's she likes some shit. But
yeah.
So she wants to fuck you. I mean, that's kryptonite.
And she's no Brad Pitt.
Yeah, she's not. But she's all right.
She's all right. Yeah. And she has this place down, I don't know, like Tribeca or Financial, like some penthouse apartment. So take my
love. She's a billionaire.
I rollerblade down.
You do not. You are fucking white garbage. You really are. You couldn't even fucking sport for a cab, roll up in a cab. You had a rollerblade down there. So that means you had to have your rollerblades with you when you went in. Yeah. You fucking piece of garbage. Go ahead. You have a backpack too, right?
Probably, yeah.
Oh, God. So, you had to have sneakers. You had to have sneakers. Oh, fuck.
So we get there, and I get there, and you know, she's got this huge, immaculate, like, it's almost like a lab, this place. It's clinical. There's no life in there. It's just furniture, and nothing's been lived in. And she has, like, a nightgown, and we're just kind of, she has, like, a glass of wine. Hey, you want some wine? And,
right. Yeah. You really want some Gatorade because you're fucking dehydrated from rollerblading from Hell's Kitchen to Tribeca.
You need electrolytes. So, and then one point she goes, you just want to go in the bedroom. So we go in the bedroom and we, you know, consummate, whatever. And then I leave. I leave like an hour later.
You bang.
We bang.
You bang. Good? Was it a good one? Were you proud of yourself?
I mean, I didn't bring my A game. Got to reserve that.
But it was good though.
It was all right. Yeah, it was.
You laid into it?
You know, it was fine.
You get down on it? You take a couple swipes?
I did my best.
You took a couple swipes?
I gave it a college try.
You give it a little licky?
No licky. Just
so you did the do.
Yeah.
Right? And then you get on your rollerblades.
And I feel like shit.
Yeah, because you got to go uphill. Because Hell's Kitchen is uphill from Tribeca. That's why true. You feel like shit.
I feel like garbage. So right. And I was like, I'm never going to do it again. And then I see... And then
you
I,
said that to yourself.
Yeah, I did. I really did. And then I see my girlfriend again. And, you know, like I said, my girlfriend's, we'd been talking about having an open relationship, we'd been talking about, and I knew she dated a lot of NHL players, she's from Canada, and she was like, listen, I get guys are guys, sex is sex, fucking is fucking, I don't really care, just, you know. But she did care, and I felt like garbage, and she came to opening, and she came, I went, saw her on Halloween, we had a great time, I was like, I'm never going to do it again. I came back, and once I came back home alone in New York, I didn't have, whatever, the self-esteem or the self-worth to feel like I could be alone.
She wasn't with you.
She wasn't with me.
If she's not with you, you're a young guy, you're fucking, you got a lot of shit going on, but you're a younger-looking guy, you want to tell, you're a comic, too, so we're so fucked up emotionally. Yeah. We need those accolades. Yeah. We need those self-esteem boosts. You feel like shit. You don't use drugs. You're not a heroin addict. You're not out fucking banging hookers. You got an apartment in New York. You're alone. And it's not like you're going out meeting girls.
Yeah.
You're not going out pursuing anything.
Yeah.
You have this fucking thing coming at you.
Yeah.
So you're alone. Feel like shit about it because you like this girl, but it's not a true sense relationship. You're not living together. You're not with each other every day. Yeah. You're alone. The responsibility is, you know, on yourself, which is hard.
Yeah.
And then what happens?
Thank you for defending me. I thought I was going to do that. So same thing. I come back. She's gone. I'm like, oh, she's so... And then I'm home alone. I'm watching fucking TV like a jerk off.
Right.
Jerking off to you porn. Feeling like a loser.
Right.
And I don't want to date anyone because I don't want to involve myself emotionally in any type of way. So I...
You're emotionally involved with
the girl. So again, like I get another text a couple of days later. Like, you know, hey, what are you doing? And I'm like, oh, fucking... Right. Same thing. So it happens. This happens about...
Please tell me you took a cab the second time.
Yeah. And then my electric bike.
You have an electric bike?
Come on now, listen.
Oh, God. An electric bike. Oh, my. What floor do you live on?
The third.
And you have to carry that fucking electric
bike? No, I keep it in the basement.
Oh, God forbid.
Or I plug it in.
You really are just a Japanese shit dick. All right, so you take your... Okay, good. So,
and as I'm doing, you know, so I do it a few more times.
A few?
Yeah. Total, like, four.
All right, so you can't stop. You can't stop.
I guess kind of. And each time I keep going, like, well, I shouldn't do it. And I keep going, in my head, I'm going, well, I'm just working through something and this is going to end. And then it came to one time I was at her place and I just kind of couldn't do it. She was just annoying me.
Right.
She's kind of a cunt and she was just negative and there was no emotional. So I just kind of, one time I got there and I just wasn't even like, I was like a spaghetti noodle. I was like, I can't do this anymore. So right. I kind of said, well, you know, I don't know if we're looking for different things. She said she wanted a relationship. I was like, I can't do that. It's over. Then it gets, because I'm a fucking idiot and I want everyone to fucking like me. I was like, well, maybe we'll be friends. And so I invite her out one night to a social event where I totally ignore her. And I tell her, well, I hope we can be friends and blah, 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 blah. And she's mad and she leaves. And we don't really talk. And I'm like, good, I'm out of it. I dodged a bullet, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And I keep thinking, well, hopefully this will just blow over. And I'll just absorb all the guilt. And I start thinking, like, I go to therapy. And I start fucking reading books about sex addiction, all this fucking bullshit.
Yeah.
So, and then months go by, nothing. And then right before Valentine's Day, my girl calls me and she goes, what the fuck is up with this woman, blank?
Right.
And it's right as I'm going into my play. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, you fucking fucked this woman, blah, blah, blah. It's literally half hour. I'm like, no. We just fooled around. It's kind of blow job. You know, I went straight in the fucking bullshit lie. We talked about it. We like talked all night. We kind of fought. And then of course, the next day she goes, look, I got more details. I know when you went to her place.
Oh.
How many times you fucked her?
Oh my God.
Where you fucked her? Details. And I don't know why any of this shit.
You're like, how did you get this?
Yeah, and she's not telling me, which is, you know, her right. So it turns out finally I find out that somebody, and to this day I don't know who, sent her a link to the transcripts of this woman's radio show.
Yeah.
And in the radio show, this woman detailed
everything.
Pretty much everything. You know. And it's not super graphic, but it's enough. We started off on the couch, then we went to the bedroom, all this shit.
Right, okay. So, but how did your girl find out? How did it get from some random radio show, whatever, that probably nobody listens to, that your girl would never hear, to your girl?
I don't know. It's pretty fucking... I mean, they're theories. There's one theory that in her divorce, she had her husband, who's a very wealthy man, powerful man. You know.
You really are white trash.
Idiot, right?
You're the guy that the father pays not to marry her daughter. Exactly. His daughter. I'll give you $1 million just to walk away.
So, it could have been like, because they contacted her. No one contacted me. I wasn't getting emails or anything.
Right.
But let me backtrack a little bit. There was a little bit of thing when someone did email me and said, this woman is ripping you apart on her radio show.
Right.
So I go on Facebook and I try to contact this woman. She's blocked me from Facebook.
Right.
I try to call her. My number's been blocked. Right. There's no way to contact her.
Right.
So I had a second Facebook account. And I go, hey, what's going on? Why are you mad at me? Why are you talking shit about me?
Right.
And then, so I made the mistake of on my Twitter account saying, oh, it looks like I got a bunny boiler situation going on.
Right.
Which, so she heard about this from one of her crazy callers.
What is a bunny boiler? Explain
like
that.
Like Fatal Attraction.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You know?
And she started a Twitter account just to basically attack me. And she started talking about all sorts of shit. And I went back on her for Twitter a bit until I was like, I'm a fucking idiot. I shouldn't do this. So I deleted all that stuff and blah, blah, blah. Didn't really deal with it. And again, hope it'll blow over. That was back in January.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, she finds out about all this stuff. She finds out about the Twitter, about the transcripts. She gets sent links to the Twitter, quote-unquote, fight.
Yes.
All the transcripts. She knows about as much as you could possibly know. And then so I kind of copped to what happened, you know.
Right.
And
The
honesty approach. And she, the problem was she just started thinking that our whole relationship was bullshit. It was all a lie. It was based on a lie.
So basically, through the fucking social medias, through fucking Twitter, through Facebook.
Radio, through TV.
The internet.
Yeah.
Somebody knew your girl, knew you, and knew this person.
Yeah.
And put fucking two and two together.
Yeah.
And fucking ratted you out.
Yep.
So basically, if you didn't have a Twitter account, or if you weren't connected to your girl somehow through Facebook or through the internet, someone might have never known where you were or what you were doing.
Yes.
Right? But because you were on there fucking yapping, or she was on there yapping, they just said, oh, that must be, what's his name? And she's my friend, and she did, oh my God, this motherfucker.
Yeah. And she's not on Facebook, she's not on Twitter, she isn't doing that shit. So I don't even know how someone could have made the connection, but someone did. We haven't really been public together. She was still going through divorce, so she's kind of keeping things on the DL.
Yeah.
So I don't know if one of her friends kind of made it her mission to find out, because my girl is very intuitive, and she knew there was something wrong, that something happened in November, and she knew about it. She goes, what the fuck was going on in November? You were different. You were acting weird. You were kind of like disappearing. Right. And like, what the fuck was going on? Her spidey senses went off.
Yeah.
And, you know, the most honest I ever got at that point, I go, look, I was going through something in November. It's done now.
Yeah.
It didn't mean anything. Nothing happened. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. So, then we just ended up, we were just in the fucking heart of darkness trenches. She
fucking dumped you.
She would try to work it out.
Right.
And then she'd be like, I can't fucking do
it. She can't get past it.
Can't get past it. And then I would just, I mean, for lack of a better word, I was just beg. I'd be like, just give me a chance. You know, I love you. I want to try to work this out. She's like, okay. She'd come to New York. We'd hang out. She'd come for 4 days. 3 days would be great. And one day she'd be like, you motherfucking people. Right, I cannot believe you fuck. Like something would remind her, you know.
It's called resentment.
Yeah.
It's called hatred.
Yeah.
It's called, you know, you push that shit down, but you can't, it's never gone. You have to get it out.
Yeah.
You have to get it the fuck out. And she had to get it out. Because she'd see, yeah, exactly. But another thing is, she, you guys gave away all your shit.
Yeah. And I think part of it was like, she could see the woman, see pictures of the woman. And
it was random fucking Jersey broad.
Yeah, so she got images of this
person. Oh, God.
And then it tied into her theory, which is her theory about me as a white trash person.
Yeah.
Which is that. It's happened to fear of her. It's like you are someone who, because of your upbringing, whatever it is, you need validation from a rich, semi-quasi-famous woman who goes, hey, I'm rich, I'm semi-powerful, and I'm attracted to you. And so I'm going like, oh, okay, I'll just hop on that.
Let's not forget the most important part, though. You were lonely at fucking 12 at night in your apartment by yourself in the prime of your fucking life, and somebody said, I want to fuck you.
Yeah.
Another woman just said, I want to fuck. How do you say no? How do you go, I really can't, I don't, oh, fuck. It's hard. That's hard. You have to have an emotional, strong emotion. You have to live with that person, have a kid, be married, a document under God and the government to be able to say, you know what? I can't do that. That's not fucking realistic for me.
Yeah.
You know, that's hard to do.
Well, if I was really, you know, the truth is, if I was a real fucking man, a real dude, I would have been like, you know what? I would have said that. I would have said, listen, this is tough.
No, you were a real man. That's what real men do. They fuck people. That's what men do. Real men fuck chicks. Real men fuck chicks. You know what? You know what? No, you're trying to be in a relationship, man. That's not a real man. A real man fucks women and fucking succeeds and provides and fucking gets money and hunts and kills and fucking ravishes motherfuckers. We're vampires. We're fucking glamming motherfuckers. That's what men do.
Yeah.
Okay? Then there's the fucking guy, the boyfriend guy, who fucking you sacrifice some of your manhood to fucking accommodate the woman's insecurities and what she needs. It's sacrifice. Look, being married is a sacrifice. There's things you have to sacrifice. You have to learn to become a different type of guy.
Yeah.
To be married.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do.
Yeah.
You do. You did what the fuck any guy would have fucking done. Because it's not an emotional thing. It's a purely, what the fuck else am I going to do?
Well, one of the things she said earlier on, she goes, look, I get it. Sex is sex. Like I said, she dated NHL players.
Okay,
yeah. Like,
what are they? You're saying that like they're porn stars on the side, too. What does that mean?
Come on, man. They, you know, her boyfriend played for Ottawa, she said before she started dating him, she walked in on the bathroom once and he was getting blown by some fucking skank.
Right.
So she kind of gets it in a way.
She gets the rock star lifestyle, right? Yeah.
You know, and So I, in my head, I'm like, and she said, I don't care about the physical, but the emotional affair is more of an issue than anything else. So in some way, bullshit way, I was justifying to myself, well, this is an emotional. Oh, the woman, this she was an automaton. She was like a fucking robot. She had no emotional life.
Right.
So I kind of, in my head, I justified it. Well, it's kind of within the parameters a little, but at the same time, more if she asked me, she goes, I know you're fucking someone. And I was like,
you were just at the point of relationship where it was going to go to the next. It was just about to fall off the cliff onto the next level.
Yeah.
Okay, and become monogamous.
Yeah.
Where she not only now does she do care about you and what you do and how, look, we've all been there. I mean, one of my first girlfriends that I, you know, I was seeing other girls, and then when she started seeing another guy, she went on a date, that bugged me. I was
like, of course.
You know what that means? I like her.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to have to sacrifice. I'm going to have to not see anybody too because I don't want her to see anybody. So literally, this is probably just you guys going to the next level.
Yeah, and that's how I looked at it. It's like I was trying to go from, and this is maybe a crazy bullshit philosophy, but there's low monogamy and high monogamy. Low monogamy is where everything's like, I'm not going to fuck other women out of sacrifice.
Right.
And high monogamy is like, I love this woman so much that this is the only woman that I really want to fuck.
Right.
Now, I don't know about that because I, on one level, it's always going to be a state of sacrifice.
Right.
But I like the idea that, I mean, because I think that women get in a state where when they're fucking a guy, they literally can't imagine fucking another guy. They literally, like, the idea kind of grosses them out. And my girl, like I said, my girl is, like, really hot, but I also do think that she is someone who lives in a state of, when she's with someone, she kind of can't be with another guy.
Yeah, because she can get any other guy she wants.
So there's no challenge.
There's no, it doesn't matter. When you look at, if you walk into a room full of fucking prostitutes, right, you're not going to give a fuck about it. You're going to go and get the one you really like and just stay with that one because you can have any single fucking one you want. You know what I mean? Yeah, we don't have those options. We can't just walk into a room and fucking get laid. She can just walk up to any guy and go, I want to blow you. Yes, I will let that happen. She knows that. There's nothing there to it.
Yeah.
What's more intriguing to women is actually, it's an emotional connection, liking somebody.
Yeah.
I like, you know, she likes the whole package and she wants a little more than that. She can bang whoever she wants. We banging to us is, you know, it's almost a validation. Women want you, the hoop you have to jump through them is actually not fuck them to prove that you like them.
Yeah.
And women, and to us, you suck my dick, that means you like me.
Yeah,
that means I can feel comfortable around you because you blew me and you let me fuck you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're on totally different opposite sides of the fucking emotional sexual fucking spectrum with the fucking broads. You know?
Yeah.
But what I want to know what happened. Is it working out now?
Well, you know, it's been a challenge. Because she's come back to New York a couple times. She's trying to work it out. When she was first coming back to New York, she admitted that she was afraid that if she wasn't here, I was just going to go back and try to start fucking women.
Right.
And I got so fucked up. I mean, she basically, at one point what happened, she sent me an email. She goes, look, I can't do this. Don't contact me.
Ooh, boy.
And I didn't hear from her for a week.
Right.
And in that week,
It was
the worst week of my life. I mean, it was like a death. You know what I mean? I went through everything, all the stages of you know, grief and denial and anger and you know, whatever, acceptance. And I was doing shit like I sent a fucking message to this woman that I'd been with, and I said, listen, I apologize. I tried to, like, sort of 12-step a little bit and say I apologize for the wrong I did to you
because
I wanted to clear up that karma.
Yeah. Did that work?
No, because then the bitch fucking brought up on a radio show.
Yeah, are you dumb? Do what I tell you.
I know.
You know what radio people need? Content. They don't care how they get it. They're going to do hours of radio a day. New. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you can't fucking bring anything up to anybody on radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to fucking, of course, it's fucking gold.
Yeah.
You know what you should do? You should just give her ratings next time. Just like, here, or just give her a gold bar. Yeah, you can't fucking write a fuck. I'm sorry I did this to you. She trashed you on air, dude.
I know.
There's no apology needed.
Yeah.
You didn't call her. You didn't fucking call her. You didn't owe her shit.
I know.
You know? I mean, then she fucking brings it up on she brings up your personal life to get ratings. That's fucking nuts.
Yeah.
If anybody gets an apology, it should be you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that karma will come back.
Yeah. So, and I wasn't trying to get her back or anything, but you know, my girl who is kind of, you know, obsessed with what happened,
yeah,
has been following the transcript of the radio show. So she saw my name again. She goes, I'm finally getting to a place where I'm accepting it, and all of a sudden your name is fucking mentioned again by this woman.
Yeah, you gotta let it die.
So, dude, I did let, you know, but so it's been, like I said, there's always like a new challenge that kind of comes up, yeah, and blah, blah, blah. And then we go, you know, again, we see Motherfucker with a Hat, the Chris Rock play, and
yeah,
and it's all about cheating. And I'm sitting right next to her like, oh, jeez, Christ, can we not? Can this subject not be everywhere in our fucking lives?
Yeah.
And during the show, she's kind of like, she doesn't want to touch me. She's
really?
Kind of, yeah, I don't know if it's that, even that look, conscious.
Well, you know what, dude? It's, you can't blame her.
Yeah.
You gotta wait it out. Meanwhile, I just let you know, this guy's chain smoking the whole time. He's had four cigarettes. No, fucking do it, dude, you nervous cunt. I think that this is actually a good thing that happened. Because what it does is it made her realize that, you know what, I really like you, you dummy. All that bullshit I said about, you know, I don't, sex is sex, that doesn't count anymore, because we're beyond that. I do give a shit. And it fucking snapped you out of your horse shit, where you're like, fuck, I almost lost something I really like.
Yeah.
And let me get my shit together. I bet you haven't done shit since.
No.
Right? So it actually made you realize. I mean, so this is actually a good thing. Your relationship went to another level, but you got to start with a clean slate now.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The whole idea of starting with a clean slate is easier said than done, because that the residual effects of what happened and all the little vestigial bullshit still exists, and she's still gonna.
Yeah, it's gonna go away.
Hopefully.
It's absolutely gonna go away. But it's gonna go away when she actually gets to live here, and you know, you guys are spending time together, and you know, and she. She knows that you're not fucking doing that shit.
Yeah, and I think part of it is one of her best friends is married to a guy, an actor, who fucks the world, fucks everybody. So she's been listening to her best friend talk about all of his infidelity for years now.
Right.
And so she kind of, all the girls that have sort of been in my life, either as friends or I've hung out with or blah, 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 she's like, did you fuck this girl? And we actually went to a party this weekend, and my girl is pretty, she's pretty intuitive. There was one girl there in this party, in this group, who at one point, like 5 years ago, I almost fucked. And we almost had a thing. And I think this girl may have still liked me, who knows. But there's 20 people there, and she just goes, you fucked that brunette, didn't you? I'm like, what the fuck? No, I didn't. And she kind of like lost it, and we had like a bad night.
Yeah, you're going to have to take the hits for a little bit. You take the hits for a little bit. But it will go away.
Yeah,
and you gotta fucking make sure you call her, make sure you fucking, you know, you really cater to her ego and her self esteem for the next fucking few months.
Yeah,
and that shit will go away.
And one of the things I think is hard for women to get, I know it's hard for her to get, is look, there's no comparison between my girlfriend and this fucking radio show. Like I never wanted to be with this other woman.
Right.
And my girlfriend, who, like you said, is really gorgeous, I think there's a part of her who's like, why would you do that? Why would you choose this girl over me? What am I not doing? Am I not satisfying you? Am I not there for you in a way that you want? And it had nothing to do with that. But she doesn't get the multiple occasions. She goes, I get like that you fucked up, you got drunk, you hooked up with her one night because you got this text. But the fact that you went over there four more times, what is that? That's a whole other thing. And she'll never... She doesn't understand that, and I don't know if I can explain it to her in a way.
I don't think anybody listening does. You know what I mean? You eat shit once or twice, and then, you know, you go back for the third, fourth times on an electric bike. I mean, come on. You know what I mean? I get it. It became your little booty call, and it was literally your safe way of cheating without falling into an emotional connection with a broad.
Yeah.
So you don't have to take some chick out to dinner.
Yeah.
Shit that you want to do with your girl.
Yeah.
Or go to a movie.
Or bring her back to my place.
Yeah, bring her back to your place. It was a prostitute.
That's what I told her. I go, it was the equivalent of a prostitute. And she was like, no, there's a reason. It was this woman and no other woman. It was this woman because she validated your bullshit white trash mentality that you need to be validated.
It was that woman. It could have been a fucking any other woman. If a woman calls you up and says you want to fuck, that's the equivalent to a prostitute.
Yeah,
that's what you're looking for. That's the you know, look, I want to fuck you. Okay, and then you fucked, and that's all you did. It's a, I mean, if there's no There's no fucking dinner. There's no fucking movie. There's no walk through the park. You're not kissing her in a vestibule down in the village. Do you know what I mean? You're not giggling, getting tattoos together. You went, you fucked, you left.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's anything, it's a prostitute.
Yeah.
It's an emotionless connection with another human. It's purely sexual. That's what it was. It was to fill the hole of fucking loneliness in your belly that you weren't getting because your girl wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's it, you know? So now you're back together and things are going all right.
Yeah, and I'm finding that it's hard for me just to kind of be when she gets her fears. And she's really creative, so she comes up with, here's my theory. This girl, blah, 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 she'll create these whole narratives about how I fucked this other random girl
right.
that I didn't. Yeah. And it sounds like a really convincing theory. I go, like, it makes a lot of sense. All the dates line up with your theory, but it's not true.
Right, yeah.
But well, she goes, why would I believe you? Because you lied to me for fucking
because
4 months.
I fucking, you know what? We're starting, you have to say, well, I'm being honest with you now. You know everything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to fucking get involved in this again. I'm not going to go through this again on my end. Yeah. You have to fucking trust me. Because you know everything. The slate's clean. We're starting from a new level now. I know where you're coming from. You know where I'm coming from. I stole your coffee. Yeah. I'm just glad she didn't yap in the middle of it. That's what she usually does. But, you know, you started from I think that it will work out. You're going to have to eat shit for a little bit.
Yeah.
You're going to have to fucking defend yourself a little bit. But there will be a point where you go, enough is enough.
Yeah.
We're good.
And where is that point, though? That's also a line.
You'll know where the point is. It's like, look, when I first got sober, I remember I went to rehab for a year. I moved back with my folks. I was going to AA meetings fucking 7 nights a week. I came home late one night I was at a Bickford's with people at a 12-step meeting, talking about God and sobriety over coffee and a fucking Big Apple, right?
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know what a Big Apple is, holy shit, go to Bickford's. It's a pancake French toast, a crepe with apples, hot butter, just melted butter and syrup. It's insane. They have a baby apple too, but that's for fucking amateurs. I came home, my mother grabbed me. She grabbed me at the door. What have you been doing? You've been drinking. Let me smell your breath. I moved out. I moved out because I realized that she's never going to see me in another light.
Mm.
I went, you know what? I was at a fucking... I went to a meeting tonight. I was talking about fucking sobriety for 2 hours at a fucking Bickford's with fucking a bunch of other losers like me. You know what I mean? And I was like, fuck you. That's enough. Enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had to move out. I had 16 and a half. I had to move out of my house and move in with a foster father. Because I was still a ward of the state. I had, you know, it sucked, but that's what I had to do. There'll be a point where she'll get over it. Well, she'll have to, you know what I mean? But those are the things when... She'll be testing you that you do little things and you say little things, and you have to be honest with her too. There's going to be bumps in the road, but you're gonna have to fucking really be honest.
Yeah.
And then she'll know when you're honest. She'll know. If you call her up and go, look, I'm fucking having a hard time, really lonely, and I'm fucked up right now. You know what I mean? What's up? What are you doing? Talk to me. Then she'll know that you're going to her instead of fucking going outside.
Yeah, you know, and that's what I told her. I said, listen, if it comes up again, if I start feeling that way, the way I felt back in October, November, I'll come to you.
Yeah.
But, you know, she keeps going like, well, the way you talked to me back in October was the same way.
Right.
You know, you talked to me that, oh, man, I'm committed. And the truth is, there is a part of me, because of my own fear and insecurity, that she's a gorgeous woman in L.A., wealthy woman in L.A., doing her thing. Guys, she lives in this really hot shot building with all these, like, young, you know.
I'd love it if she fucked... I'd love it if she just fucked some other dude.
Really?
The whole time she's been fucking just banging some other guy.
Well, you know, that was a fear I had. You know, then I started thinking, well, maybe she is, and that's why she's acting this way, because she's entertaining something.
Maybe.
Blah, blah, blah. And she would bring up things like, well, there's this kind of famous actor in the building who keeps looking at me and talking to me, and then I get all insecure, and then I get all like, oh, well, I better go fuck someone, because Jesus Christ, man, I got to protect myself. But of course, you can't protect yourself.
Right. Well, let's move on. I feel like it's going to work out. We'll touch base again in a month or so and see where it's at.
Maybe we'll double date.
Hopefully, yeah. I'd love to. My wife met your girl and thought she was really nice.
Yeah.
That's why I was a fucking, I'm actually, you know, I was like surprised. I thought it was a wrap.
Me too.
Mean, you sold the iPad she gave you. That's gone.
That is gone.
Yeah, you sold it to Joe DeRosa, jackass.
For $100.
$100. That fucking unworthy twat swooped in while you were weak and fucking lonely. You want this? I don't want to look at it. I'll take it. $100? Yeah. Walked out. Fuck, I wish I knew. I would have come over and fucking grabbed the TV. What else did she buy you?
She did help me buy the TV.
I would have fucking walked over. Dude, this is no good either. You're not going to fucking... Anyways, we got the... some MMA, man. Let's really quickly kind of go through this. We got... there's a couple things, man. There's the fight that just took place last week on Strikeforce. Strikeforce was acquired by UFC.
Yeah.
Which is, it's fucking great. It could be bad, it could be good. The bad part is they do what they did to Pride. They wait for it to fucking run out, fucking kind of dissolve it, take all the fighters, bring them to the UFC. No more competition.
Yeah.
No more fucking Strikeforce. You know, you need competition. You need that fucking, I don't care where it is. I don't care if it's a comedy club. You need the comedy club down the street to be a little not as, you know, a little better than you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To make business strive on, you know, thrive on both ends.
Yeah.
And if that's what happens, it's going to suck.
Yeah.
Because Strikeforce is not as good as UFC. The production value is not as good. The commentators aren't as good.
Yeah.
It's not, but it's good. It's good to watch. They have great fighters. But the other thing that could happen is they keep Strikeforce, and it goes for a while, and they actually start fucking fighting between each other.
Which would be cool, yeah.
Well, you're unifying the belts.
Yeah.
Well, you got Alistair Overeem fighting fucking Cain Velasquez, you know what I mean? And the heavyweights fighting and some of the welterweights and go back and forth. And I mean, fucking Nick Diaz, man. Nick Diaz last week, no fucking joke. It was fucking unbelievable.
Who did he fight again?
He fought Paul Daly, who was from the UFC. He actually got kicked out of the UFC for punching... what's his name in the fucking head after the fight? Come on. What the fuck is his name? He just fought GSP. Got beat. They hosted the tough 2010.
Oh, Josh Koscheck?
Josh Koscheck, yeah. Josh, what Josh did, he would, you know, Paul Daly's a scrapper. And you know, Josh was talking shit. We're just going to stand up. Josh just took him down with his wrestling, lied on top, laid and prayed, talked in his ear. Was saying shit to him, just holding him down, scoring points for the fucking all three rounds.
Yeah.
And he just couldn't take it. At the end, he fucking got up and fucking, he was talking shit too, got up and just fucking punched him in the head at the end of the fight. Just ran over and punched him in
when he was like talking to Joe Rogan?
Dude, no. Like right when the fight, ding, that's it. Josh gets up off top of him because he's lying on
his
him.
Arms.
He fucking, yeah, he got up, fucking went over and punched him in the fucking head. It's my phone. Got kicked out of the UFC, which is stupid. Shit. He shouldn't have got kicked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, he should have got a fucking suspension.
Yeah.
Some money. But they kicked him the fuck out. Dana White doesn't, you know, take shit.
Yeah.
Kicked him the fuck out. Went over to Strikeforce. He's been kicking ass over there. And then he went up against, against Nick Diaz. But Nick Diaz, man, what a fight. If you haven't seen it, it's on actually MMATKO.com, which is a great site to see the fights after. Whew, what a fight. Knocked fucking Diaz down in the first round, and then fucking Diaz came back and fucking they brawled.
Yeah.
Diaz fucking TKO'd him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Diaz is no joke, man.
No, he's not.
Diaz, I mean, he almost fought fucking Ariel Helwani because Ariel was, he was just pissed and he was like, you know, it's guys like you who start the fucking rumors and start fights between fighters, you reporters, and you said shit to Daly that I didn't really say. And he was like, you know, in the interview, you can see it on actually another great website if you're a fucking MMA fan is MMAfighting.com. Ariel Helwani, one of the fucking top interviewers out there. Because he doesn't do these. Hang on 1 second. Hello? So Ariel Helwani, he's fucking great. He does these videos that are really, just in really long. They're not these short fucking 1 minute videos. They're really long and ask some fucking shitload of questions and really intelligent. He's great. He's really great. If MMAfighting.com. Yeah, he was like, yeah, people, he was talking to him, doing an interview. He goes, when you're, people, when that, in my neighborhood, people get slapped for that shit. And it was just like, what the, he's just a thug.
Yeah.
Nick Diaz is a thug.
Yeah.
But he is a, one of the best fighters. I'd love to see him in the UFC. I'd love to see him main event.
He was in UFC for a bit.
Was, left. His brother is Nate, who's another good fighter, great fighter.
Yeah.
But Nick is one of my favorites. He's just a thug, man.
Didn't he get suspended for weed?
Yeah, he got suspended for weed from...
This is ridiculous.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, it's a banned substance in the fucking certain states.
I don't get why that would be a banned substance for fighting.
Well, it's illegal. You can't do that any... You have to... You need a fucking prescription from a doctor. Do you know what I mean? And you can't be a fighter on any... On drugs.
Yeah.
That's a drug. There's people being beheaded in Mexico right now because of marijuana. Do you know what I mean? I think marijuana should be legal. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, you know, I understand why they suspended him. It's not like I'm like, dude, he had fucking Kool-Aid. What's wrong with you? I mean, he's smoking pot.
Yeah.
But yeah, he is fucking great. He really leveled him. It was fucking unbelievable fight.
Yeah.
Really, yeah. Showtime puts on some good fights. And Dana White was actually at the event.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was... He was wearing a Strikeforce shirt.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of weird, man.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, they got a lot of good interviews on it. And it was just a great night of fighting, but I'd love to see the mixture of the two organizations.
Now, what's the difference when rules with Strikeforce? Does Strikeforce have, like...
I think they're the same rules now that it's UFC. I think they're going to be going over this. You know what I thought, I think, and Nick Diaz actually talked about this as an interview with Ariel Helwani. It's hard to fucking fight these guys. These wrestlers and stuff who want to hold you down. They should have, like in Pride, the yellow card.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get a yellow card. You get points and you get money taken out of your purse.
Yeah.
If you're not fucking moving, if you're not trying to fucking get position or trying to, fight, if you're not fighting, fuck it. Yellow card them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they should adopt some of that shit for some of these fights because some of them get boring, man. And some of these fighters... Houston against, who's that black guy? I suck at names. I'm so tired, too.
Houston Alexander versus...
Yeah.
With the beard.
What's his name? Fucking the black dude with the... Kimbo Slice.
I was like, Kimbo?
Oh, I'd be the worst. If someone came to me tomorrow, we want you to fucking do a UFC show, I'd be the worst. I'd be like, what's his name? Fucking the black dude. Kimbo Slice. Just ran circles. That was his game plan. And he's supposed to be a fighter.
Yeah, you
can fucking yellow card that motherfucker right there.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Money right out of your paycheck.
Yeah.
Force these people to fight.
I think Pride did, which is good. Pride used to have, and a lot of MMA people think this, that they should make legal knees to the head to a downed opponent. Because wrestlers, when they turtle up, they're so comfortable in the turtle position until they get their... If someone gets in trouble, just knee them in the fucking head.
Also, too, what the guys are doing is that you can't knee them when their hand is touching the canvas.
Yeah, there's a lot of rules.
So a lot of guys right now are starting to just keep their hand down
to avoid
getting fucking knocked out. You know what I mean? So
you
keep your hand down while you're bent over and the guy's got you. You can't fucking... You should be... If you're on your knees, your hands and knees are on the ground, like literally, your hands and knees... Okay, I don't agree with kicking somebody in the head then.
Yeah.
Okay, because you can get on top of them... There's, you know, you can get their back, you can do other moves. But if someone's standing up and their fucking hand is touching the ground, one knee, fuck you. You should be able to fucking crank them right in the fucking, in the forehead.
And they also have like elbows, they have to be like sideways, they can't be straight on and shit.
Well, I mean the elbows, dude. If you ever see a fucking really vicious elbow straight down, I mean that's...
Awesome.
It's awesome, but... It's not gonna get the sport where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Because you're just gonna be slicing people's heads. Look, I love MMA, but I was at a fight. I forget which one it was. I think it was UFC 100 or something. And I forget one of the preliminary fights. The guy got cut open. Like, ugh, just blood everywhere. Dude.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, dude, this is getting a little creepy now. The fucking mat was covered.
Yeah.
And he was just gushing. It's like, dude, this is kind of weird. I don't want to watch somebody just bleeding, gushing blood and plasma from their head.
But then with the flip side is then you get wrestlers who come in, they're Division I champions, and they just tackle someone and lie on them.
Yeah, that's where the yellow card would come in.
Yeah.
Fucking boot. Yellow card him. Get the fuck up. Get him back to their feet. Some of the refs are doing that now.
Yeah.
Where they get up, let's go.
Yeah.
And they get him back to their feet. I mean, it's still evolving.
Yeah.
But I just hope that, you know, that they don't eliminate Strikeforce, suck up all the talent, stick it in the UFC, and then WEC's gone.
Yeah.
Pride's gone. Strikeforce would be gone. It'd just be the UFC.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think competition is pretty good. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah, who knows
what the fuck? That's probably what they're going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what WWE did. Mm-hmm. They bought WCW and fucking ended it and made it Thursday night fucking SmackDown or some shit. So
I think they should bring in women fighters, too. They're good fights, man.
Women fighters are great. I love fucking... Women fighters are like little guy fighters.
Flyweights,
yeah. They fucking wail it out, man. They got the gas, they got the speed, and they fucking go at it.
Yeah.
Because they, you know... Yeah, women fighters... I like women. The only thing I talk about it before is I get sexually aroused.
You should.
Well, you can literally see the shape of their pussies in those tight GSP shorts that they wear. And you're just sitting there like, oh, I hope she rips a tit out, you know? I mean, Gina Carano is fucking...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
How hot is she?
What is she doing now?
She's fighting again.
Where?
She's fighting Strikeforce.
Okay. Strikeforce still has women.
Yeah, she's coming back. She'll be back... I think the next Strikeforce she's actually fighting. The next big fight that's coming up is actually Jake Shields and
GSP.
GSP, man. Fucking big fight. Who do you think's going to win?
Well, of course, I'm a GSP fan.
Really?
Yeah.
You think GSP is going
to
win?
Yeah. You know what? Because I think everyone wants to believe in the idea of a superhero. And he's the closest thing to a superhero. It's like you don't want Spider-Man to get his ass kicked. You want the fucking superhero. That's why people love dynasties and... You know? Come on, when the Celtics were killing it when you were a kid, you loved that.
I don't know, man. I do like dynasties, but it's hard to be a... I mean, he's already a dynasty. He's unbeaten. Jesus, him and Silva, it's pretty crazy. And the only divisions that are... I mean, those are the two... They haven't changed hands in a long time, man. Know. So I would like to see... I'd like to see Shields come in, but...
But he's such a boring... Like, did you want him... He's such a boring dude, isn't he?
GSP is a few, no, except for the last one.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't really finish.
Was pretty boring too, man. He has a game plan. He sticks to it and takes him down. And you know, against the pit bull, that's all he did is take him down, take him down, take him down. He's fucking wailing it out. You know, you know, when you watch fucking BJ Penn. BJ Penn's boxing, fucking then a takedown and fucking submission.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's a interesting fight, but. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be a good fight. I just hope, and it's for a championship, so it's 5 rounds.
Yeah.
That's going to be great. I just hope that it's not that fucking boring takedown, fucking point bullshit.
Because Shields is a jits guy.
Yeah.
And he's not really a wrestler, right? So GSP could probably just take him down and line him.
Yeah, but I tell you what fight's going to be fucking awesome is Jose Aldo.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Hominick. That's going to be worth the fucking price of admission right there. Then you got fucking Machida is fighting Randy Couture.
Holy shit.
That's going to be a fucking fight. This card is stacked. It's going to be a great... I mean, just to see fucking Randy fight Machida, Randy's going to take him to the cage.
Yeah.
He's going to take him and fucking grind it out.
Yeah.
Machida's going to try to stay away from him and pull that fucking crazy...
Kung fu shit.
Well, karate. It's karate and jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
So he's going to try. Yeah,
I feel like people get Machida's plan now. Like, they figured it out. Like,
yeah.
The code's been broken. So now he's kind of like not that. Yeah. Which is why he's fighting Randy Couture, because Randy Couture really isn't relevant anymore.
Randy Couture is definitely... Are you out of your mind?
What, you think he's ever going to be a champion again?
He's not going to be a champion again, but his fights are
always
fucking great, man. I mean, two belts could change. Jose Aldo and fucking St. Pierre. I mean, that could be pretty big stuff if any of those belts, either one of those belts, changes hands. And also, Chael Sonnen is actually back in the mix.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's back in the mix, which is going to be great. I'd love to see the rematch between him and Anderson.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. Without steroids.
Yeah, I was going to say he was best with the steroids.
Yeah, he was fucking...
That was a great fight, man.
That was a great fight, but it just taints it when he's fucking...
I know.
You know, he's... it's like the Brendan Vera fight. I mean, the fucking other guy was on steroids.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you never know what the fuck really happened.
It's a shame, too, because jiu-jitsu... Because, I mean, look at BJ Penn, one of the best jits guy in the sports. Now everyone's all lubed up. They got the Vaseline. They're wearing fucking thongs, basically. You can't do any jiu-jitsu. You can't rubber guard or try...
They did a twister.
Who did?
The Korean Zombie. He won by twister.
Did he really?
Dude, he did the first time ever done. He won in UFC history. He won by a twister.
Holy shit.
Joe Rogan was like, I think he's going for a twister. And Joe's the only guy that would know what
a twister is, yeah.
Yeah, he's the only guy that knows what a fucking...
Eddie Bravo.
He's the only guy that knows what a twister is. And he fucking won, dude. He fucking... Wow. It was unbelievable, dude. Yeah, the Korean Zombie fucking tapped the guy out by a twister, which was great. So you can still do it, dude. You can definitely... The jiu-jitsu is still a huge part.
Yeah.
Especially when you're on your back.
Yeah.
You know, you have to know how to defend.
Yeah.
But another good fight that's coming up with Dan Henderson is going to fight Fedor Emelianenkov.
What? I didn't know that.
Yep.
Fedor?
He's fighting Fedor.
So Fedor's finally coming to the... Wait, that's Strikeforce?
Yep.
So then Fedor's probably under the UFC umbrella, finally.
No, he's not. He's under... Well, he is, technically. Yeah, he is. But Strikeforce is still a separate entity.
Okay.
So, and they're still run by the same people.
But Fedor lost two in a row, too, right?
Fedor lost two in a row, but... This is light heavyweight. Where he should be. He shouldn't be in fucking... Did you see the heavyweights in fucking... In Strikeforce?
They're
Jesus
enormous.
Christ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's not... He doesn't go in fucking shredded.
Uh-uh.
He's not a big guy, man. I've met him twice. He's not a fucking monster.
Yeah.
Like a Brock.
No.
Or a Kane or a fucking Shane Carwin or Alistair Overeem. He's not. He should be light heavyweight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Should be fighting. I mean, in Pride, it was a different story because it was different rules. You could do a lot more shit in Pride.
Yeah.
But in the Octagon and the rules that they have, I think it's a little uncomfortable for him to fight these big motherfuckers, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because you can't go through the ropes.
Yeah,
you know, all right, get back up. You know, it's like you're up against the cage. You're fucked. but, and Hendo's... He's a motherfucker. He's a champ, too. He's got a belt around his waist, so we might see Emelianenkov try to make a run at another belt and guarantee he's going to tap him out.
Really?
Hendo? I love Hendo.
Yeah, yeah.
I love him. He's a great wrestler. He's got a fucking right hand fucking skillet. But there's no... I think Fedor going down in weight is going to be to his advantage, not to...
Yeah.
Not to anybody. He's just going to come in... They're trying to figure out if it's going to be a catch weight... I don't think he's going to come down to 205. I think it's going to be a catch weight.
What do you think the biggest card would... What do you think the biggest fight would be?
So then it said he wouldn't get the belt. If it's a catch weight, he's not going to get the belt.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest fight... Do you think the biggest fight would be Fedor and Randy Couture?
No.
Would it be GSP and Anderson Silva?
I think it would be right now.
Yeah.
Bones Jones against Anderson Silva.
Oh, fucking Jones, yeah.
Yeah. Bones Jones...
is ridiculous.
...against Anderson Silva would be the fight if someone said to me, if Dana White... said Robert Kelly, my pal, my friend, my buddy, what fight do you want to see? It would be Anderson Silva, Jones.
Who is Jones going to fight now?
Jones fighting Rashad Evans.
Oh, that's right.
Which is going to be a fucking great fight.
Yeah, it will be a good fight. Because they're training partners. They spar together and they know each other.
Not anymore.
Well, not anymore, but they were
Greg
for years.
Greg Jackson, yeah. It's a fucking wrap. It's over.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty. And you train with the Gracies, right?
Yeah, I train with. Yeah, every Monday down at Henzo Gracie. It's GSP's down there all the time. Frankie Edgar's down there all the time.
Yeah.
A lot of those guys, a lot of the UFC guys are down there fighting. It's pretty fucking amazing.
So that's why you're going with GSP, because you fucking know him, kind of.
Yeah, I told you when he won his last fight against Josh Koscheck, he came to the class and said, "Listen, everyone, I want to tell you, it's all because of you guys that I was able to win the fight. We are all teammates." I was like, "Oh my god, I'm George's teammate."
You're not his teammate.
I know. I was the guy in the corner with the other blue belts, but
yeah,
still,
you're not his. You're a fucking. your applause, and your staring fucking like a stalker, while he fucking wrestles other guys. That's what you do.
I have a bit about. I don't know if I told you, but the first time I met, because everyone is walking around, they have their gis or they have their rash guard and their shorts. But GSP, when he's there, he walks around with his little tidy whiteys, just oiled up like a fucking Adonis, just walking around like "hello," and and I was a white belt at the time. I was like with my gi sitting like Indian style, like some other white belt, and he was walking around. Of course, I don't want to look at the guy, you know, because I just feel so stupid. And my friend goes, "Hey, George, how you doing? Good seeing you." He shakes his hand. I'm kind of like picking lint off my belt.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I look around and see people like staring at me, and I go, "Why?" Are they? And I look up, and George St. Pierre is hovering over me with his hand extended.
Oh, really?
He goes, "Hello," and I had longer hair at the time, and I went like, I kind of swiped my hair behind my ear.
Yeah.
When, like, it was the gayest thing I've ever done in my life. Right, like, I was like, "Oh, hey," and why am I doing this with my hand?
Right. Yeah.
It turned me gay for like a minute.
Yeah. Well, he's George St. Pierre.
Yeah.
The best fucking torso in the business. But all right, so I mean, there you have it. We got your fucking. Hopefully, your relationship actually is back on track. Hopefully, you can fucking keep your dick in your pants.
Oh yeah.
And go back to jerking off like a lonely douche.
Like an adult.
Like the rest of us. Jerking off to fucking TubeEight or Clitty.com. Don't go to Clitty.com.
Why not?
That's a good one. I'm actually means go to Clitty.com. we get some exciting fights coming up. Number one is the fucking UFC 29, Aldo versus Hominick and St. Pierre versus Shield and Randy Couture. Versus fucking Machida. That's a crazy card.
Crazy card.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I think I'm going to get that one. Hopefully I'm around.
Where is that going to be?
That is going to be... Shit. This is another crazy... It's in Toronto. I think they sold 55,000 tickets.
Yeah.
It's going to be the biggest UFC event ever.
Yeah.
55,000 people in the arena.
Yeah.
And I think it might be up to 60.
Yeah, well, it's sold out. It's saying it's sold out on the website.
Oh, it's fucking nuts, dude. It's fucking nuts. You know how many people that is? That means we're going to be able to see events like a giant stadium.
Yeah.
Where it's going to be fucking, 70,000 people watching a fight like back in the day
when Ali
used to fight. That's what I can't wait, to fucking see a mega event.
Yeah, a
WrestleMania type of
event. Why won't New York license it?
It's all politics and unions, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not going to happen for a minute.
Yeah.
It will happen, but not right now.
Yeah.
So for now, you're going to go to Jersey. Who gives a shit? Go to fucking Jersey. Or watch it on pay-per-view, which is even better.
Yeah.
You can have fun. You don't have to fucking worry about some dude in an Affliction shirt spilling beer on your neck. You know what I mean? But all right, man. Well, that's it. That's podcast number fucking whatever. Bill Doss, thanks for coming down and fucking hanging out and talking some shit with me and being so honest about your fucked up relationship. Oh, man. It's just hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Remember back in the day where we used to be able to hit them?
I'm not so lucky. I never had that day.
I know. I mean, either. Back in the 20s. Shut up. Did you cheat? Yeah, I did. Go make me fucking a steak. Where's my steak? The steak. All right, dude. I'll talk to you later, man. Thanks for listening. Hope you guys enjoyed this shit. Another one of my mediocre podcasts. I never claimed to fucking put on anything other than mediocre fucking podcasts. So what the fuck else were you doing while you're in your car driving to work or sitting in your dumb cube? Fucking trying to make someone else's life better. I'll see you later. Jackasses. Yeah, jackass.